and a
Caleb wedding guest in thy Godhead manifest, manifest in power divine, changing water into wine. Anthems be to thee.
Son and of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And how great is the iniquity of my sin.
O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor miserable sinner, confess unto thee all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended thee, and justly deserve thy temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray thee of thy boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being.
Upon this your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you, and in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
Worship you, O
as to you. They shall sing praises to your name almost high. Make a joyful noise, shout to God all the earth. Sing out the honor of his name, make his praise glorious. Say to God, how awesome are your works. All the earth shall sing praises to you. Come and see the works of God. He is awesome in his doing toward the sons of men. Blessed be the God who has not turned away my prayer, nor his mercy from me. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. All the earth shall worship you, O God, and sing praises to shall sing praises to your name, O Most High.
As it was in life.
Almighty and everlasting God, who in the person of your Son manifested your glory at Cana's wedding feast, and in the gift of wine revealed your goodness and mercy toward men, mercifully hear the prayers of your people, and manifest your compassion among us. Grant that we find in your Son, Jesus Christ, a very present help in every bodily need, and that through his blood we might have peace with you unto eternal life, through the same Lord Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one true God, world without end.
The Old Testament lesson for this day is found in the 61st chapter of Isaiah, the 1st through the 6th verse. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. And they shall rebuild the old ruins. They shall raise up the former desolations, and they shall repair the ruined cities, the desolations of many generations. Strangers shall stand and feed your flocks, and the sons of the foreigner shall be your plowmen and vine dresser. But you shall be named the priests of the Lord. They shall call you the servants of our God. You shall eat the riches of the Gentiles, and in their glory you shall boast. Here ends the Old Testament lesson.
God sent his word and healed them, and delivered them from their destructions. Oh, that man would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness, and for his wonderful works to the children of men.
The epistle lesson is found in the 12th chapter of Romans, verses 6 through 16. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches, in teaching. He who exhorts, in exhortation. He who gives, with liberality. He who leads, with diligence. He who shows mercy, with cheerfulness. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor giving preference to one another, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice, and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Here ends the epistle lesson.
Alleluia, alleluia. Praise him, all his angels. Praise him, all his hosts. Alleluia.
The Holy Gospel for this day is found in the 2nd chapter of John, the 1st through the 11th verse. On the third day there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Now both Jesus and his disciples were invited to the wedding. And when they ran out of wine, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." And he said to her, "Woman, what does your concern have to do with me? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Whatever he says to you, do it." Now there were set there 6 water pots of stone, according to the manner of purification of the Jews, containing 20 or 30 gallons apiece. Jesus said to them, "Fill the water pots with water," and they filled them up to the brim. And he said to them, "Draw some out now, and take it to the master of the feast." And they took it. When the master of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, and did not know where it came from, but the servants who had drawn the water knew, the master of the feast called the bridegroom. And he said to them, "Every man at the beginning sets out the good wine, and when the guests have well drunk, then the inferior. You have kept the good wine until now." This beginning of signs Jesus did in Cana of Galilee, and manifested his glory, and his disciples believed on him. Here ends the gospel. We confess the Christian faith with the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceedeth from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead, and the life of the world to come. Amen.
We sing hymn number 131.
Thank you.
Grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied unto you in God our Father and in our Lord Jesus Christ. Our text is found in the second chapter of John, the 1st through the 11th verse. On the third day there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Now both Jesus and his disciples were invited to the wedding. And when they ran out, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." Jesus said to her, "Woman, what does your concern have to do with me? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Whatever he says to you, do it." Now there were set there 6 water pots of stone, according to the manner of purification of the Jews, containing 20 or 30 gallons apiece. Jesus said to them, "Fill the water pots with water." And they filled them up to the brim. And he said to them, "Draw some out now and take it to the master of the feast." And they took it. And when the master of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine and did not know where it came from, but the servants who had drawn the water knew, the master of the feast called the bridegroom. And he said to him, "Every man at the beginning sets out the good wine, and when the guests have well drunk, then the inferior. You have kept the good wine until now." This beginning of signs Jesus did in Cana of Galilee, and manifested his glory, and his disciples believed on him. Here ends our text. You may be seated. In the name of Jesus, our Redeemer and Lord. Amen. Beloved in Christ Jesus, before mankind had categorized the elements of nature and discovered the structure of atoms and molecules and learned the ways that they interact to form new substances, before the science of chemistry had been discovered, there was a practice known as alchemy. It was a mysterious practice. Sometimes it was occult in nature, and other times it was not, that sought to transform one substance into another. More often than not, the goal of the alchemist was to find the way to transform lead into gold. But certain of the schools of alchemy had a loftier end in mind. They sought to transform the body and spirit of man himself, to find the way to grant to man eternal life, to convert the body of man into a new spiritual being. The goal of the alchemist can be summarized in this way, that man, by his power, his intelligence, sought to transform the nature of a thing into something completely different. Now, of course, history bears witness that alchemy is a failure. No matter how much research and effort men put into it, they could not change the nature of a thing. They could no more turn man into God and grant him eternal life then they could turn lead into gold. Alchemy has now become the stuff of legends and myths, but the fruitless enterprise of the human race continues on unabated to transform the stuff of their corrupt, sinful lives into something pure that is worthy of eternal life. This practice began at the very first sin, when Adam fell, where he sought the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil so that he might become transformed and be as a god. Little wonder, then, that all the children of Adam bear the likeness of their father in their bodies. It is in your nature that you will always try to do this impossible thing, to become like God, to enter eternal life by your own intelligence, by your own powers of manipulation, by your own works. It doesn't matter that God tells you that what you seek is impossible. It doesn't even matter that he has already done everything necessary to save you and to give you eternal life freely. You will still try to get it your own way, to add your own alchemical formula to the mix, your own good works or your moral decision. But there is only one man who truly has the power to transform the nature of one thing into another. Only Jesus can do this. For while the entire human race was trying to come up with some way to turn themselves into gods, to grant themselves eternal life, God had determined that he would do exactly the opposite. He would become man and die. And yet he would do it in an unimaginable way. He would become true man while never ceasing to be true God. He would make himself something that he was not without in any way changing what he is. And so through the womb of the Virgin Mary, Jesus came, whom angels adored, wise men worshipped, and the doctors of the law in the temple admired him. And now he has come to his full age. In our gospel lesson, he has begun to gather about himself his disciples, the ones who would later become his apostles. At this point, there were only six of them: Peter and Andrew, Philip and Nathanael, James and the writer of this gospel, John. All of them with Jesus at the beginning of his ministry, after he had been baptized, after he had gone into the wilderness and was tempted by the devil and had now returned, Jesus and his disciples were invited to a wedding. A wedding which his mother Mary was helping direct for an unnamed bride and groom. Here at a wedding feast where the joy of two becoming one flesh is celebrated, Jesus would reveal himself to be God and man in one Christ by doing what no one but God could possibly do. He would transform the nature of a thing entirely, turning water into wine. This miracle of Jesus was not something that he did on a whim. We see that as he speaks with his mother Mary, Jesus knew exactly when and how he was supposed to reveal himself to the world. Mary went to Jesus for this very reason. She had learned much in the intervening time when Jesus was 12 years old in the temple. She went to Jesus because she believed that he had the power to do something about the lack of wine. Something beyond buying more, that is, which if there were time and opportunity, anybody could have done. But Jesus was very clear. No, Mary, not in the way you might think, I shall do this. Leave it to me alone. This phrase which our text translates, what does your concern have to do with me, would more accurately be turned around and say, this is my concern, not yours. My hour has not yet come, and I now will choose the way. We do not know exactly what Mary was expecting. Perhaps she thought Jesus would call wine into existence out of nothing. In any case, she responded to him in the right way. She left the matter in his hands. She told the workers at the wedding to do whatever he said. Jesus honored his mother Mary, but she was no longer the authority over him. His great work had begun, and now their roles were reversed. Mary looked to her son as her Lord, and she believed on him. And when the miracle soon followed, it followed in a most subtle way. Not this grand, glorious way that you might presume, but Jesus works behind the scenes. He does not even appear to any of the people at all. He simply tells those helpers at the wedding to fill six water pots. These water pots were rather large. Together, they held between 80 and 100 gallons in total. And suddenly, after they had done what he said, diligently filling them to the brim, there was now 100 gallons of wine. His disciples saw what took place, and they believed on him, for now his glory was openly revealed to them in a far grander way than simply him telling them things that he had seen without being able to see, such as when he told Nathanael that he was under a fig tree. Jesus wants you also to believe on him, for he continues to manifest his glory to you under the simple forms which we have before our eyes, things behind the scenes that if we did not know better, we would think were ordinary things: the Word of God, earthly bread and wine, the waters of baptism. And yet here the glory of Jesus is manifested to you. This is the Father's will. He wants you to believe that Jesus is Christ, the Son of God, for he is the only one by whom you can be saved. There is salvation in no other name. And yet, as is your nature, because you are a child of Adam, you always will try to add to what Jesus does, to have your own part in some way to play, and you naturally will believe that it is never enough. It is never sufficient that you are saved entirely by what Jesus does. There must be your way involved, your time. Somehow, your methods and activities must be involved. Jesus may make a beginning, but you must put it into practice. You know that you're saved by grace alone, through faith alone, by Christ's work alone, and yet the thoughts of your heart will betray your inner nature, because in one way or another you will always find that child of Adam in you rising up, trying to add to what God has done for you. You look for some reward based upon how you live your life today. Or, on the contrary, you imagine that God's anger still must rest upon you because you have not yet overcome all of your sins, and that therefore you can never be at peace. But all of this is only trying to add to the work that only God can do and make it your own work. But you have no such power. Only Jesus can do the work of saving you. He alone can transform you from a child of the devil to a child of God. And in that work you have no part at all. Not when you're converted, not when you're baptized, not today, not ever. Now, if you could do what Jesus does, you might have a point. If you could live like Jesus lives and love like Jesus loves, then you could have a part to play in salvation, in making your way to eternal life. But can you? Can you save another soul from death and hell? Just a single one. Maybe just yourself. If so, then you should have an easy time at doing the works which Jesus does. You should be ready, willing, and able to turn water into wine. And I'm not speaking metaphorically, I mean that literally. When you can turn water into wine, then maybe you'll be able to play a part in salvation. Well, you may say that's not fair, that it's asking too much. Well, my response is that if you cannot do something so trivial as turn water into wine, then how do you expect to be able to do something vastly greater, like turning the wrath of God into His favor for sinners? The miracle which Jesus does here, the first one that He performs in Galilee, was not just a miracle, but as our text translates it, a sign, a means by which Jesus manifested His glory. He is the only man with the power to change the nature of a thing into something else, to turn water into wine. It seems at first a strange choice of miracles, an odd beginning to His career, and yet consider what this means to us. To turn water into wine is a stunning achievement. We are able, in this day, to transform extremely small amounts of one element into another by brute force methods that require vast amounts of costly energy and multi-million-dollar particle accelerators to get a pinprick of something. And so really, in the end, by all of that, we accomplish nothing. Maybe we can turn a pinprick of lead into gold, or for a few milliseconds make a new element only to have it disappear in a flash. But wine is not a simple element. Wine is an extremely complex concoction that requires living plants and much labor harvesting and juicing and filtering and a fermentation and aging process and much time and much skill to produce a product that is worth drinking. To skip all that and go from water directly to wine shows such massive power and intelligence that the entire human race cannot accomplish it with all of our resources and knowledge pooled together. Now, that Jesus did this at a wedding tells us a couple of very profound things. First, that He has more intelligence and power than the entire human race. And second, that He's willing to use His almighty power for something so trivial as protecting the groom at a wedding from embarrassment and making glad the hearts of His guests. That is the kind of God Jesus wants you to believe that He is. That He wants to use His divine power and glory, not to serve Himself, but to care for you and your needs. And all that He desires from you in return is that you believe this, that you see what he does and believe on him, that you trust that he will provide this also for you. I know that sounds too easy, but let me assure you that it is not easy. Nothing about what Jesus does for you is easy. Thank God in heaven that you are not the one who has to do any of it. It was not easy for Jesus to enter the Garden of Gethsemane knowing full well what he would soon do upon the cross. It was not easy to bear the suffering and shame of a public scourging and a crown of thorns. It was not easy to endure the violation of his holy flesh and blood by nails and a spear. And it was the greatest work of all, a work beyond all others, beyond creation itself, for Jesus to bear in his body the wrath of God against all sin. Compared to that, turning water into wine was a truly small thing. Thank goodness that you didn't have to do any of it. He has done it all for you. And since he has begun this work in you, he will certainly complete it. He cared for the reputation of a bride and groom in Galilee so much that he dipped into his almighty eternal power to transform water into wine. How trivial it is for him to care for you and your needs today. For he has not changed. He is just as he was in Cana. He works in the kitchen, behind the scenes, away from the eyes of the feast at large. He works behind the circumstances of your life. And he arranges all things so that you have food and clothing and shelter and good friends and a home and a church. And more than all of these, he works behind the scenes in the Word and the sacraments. And through these, he gives you better wine and water than at Cana. He gives you water to wash away your sins in baptism and his own blood to drink for the forgiveness of your sins. He gives and he gives and he gives and he demands that you offer him nothing in return. And on your deathbed, he will make this same demand of you, that you receive his good gifts and that you give him nothing in return. For he has yet one more transforming miracle to perform for you when your hour has come. He will raise you from the dead and transform your vile body so that it will be like his glorious body, perfect and holy in every way, a new and glorious creation, utterly transformed and changed from its former nature so that the old has entirely passed away and in its place is something new. And this too, he will give to you freely of his goodwill and pleasure, demanding that you only receive it and give him nothing at all in return for it. Nothing, that is, except for your gratitude and thanksgiving. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty and ever-living God, who in Christ Jesus thy Son hast given the light of thy truth for all who are in the darkness of error and falsehood, so that all men may have life through his name, we thank thee that thou hast called us into this true and living faith, and graciously bestowed upon us manifold gifts of grace. Hear our prayer, Heavenly Father, that thy people may be shining lights in this world's darkness. Grant that we may be united in brotherly love and zeal to do the holy work set before us, fervent in the purpose of our calling, faithful in every trial, joyful in our promised good, generous in hospitality, and holding fast to all that is good. Bestow thy special favor upon our homes, as the Lord blessed the marriage feast in Cana with his presence and his miraculous gift of wine. Grant that he may also dwell in every home, and bestow on us the heavenly gifts of grace and mercy which he has won for us in his own blood. Bless all who live together in the bonds of marriage, that they may serve one another in love, hold each other in honor, and acknowledge thy goodness and grace in one spirit, even as they are one flesh. Grant that our homes may reflect the grace wherein Christ hath loved his bride, the church, and hath laid down his life for her. Give stability and peace to the nations of the earth, and show thyself to be the only true God, so that all men may know of thy power and glory. Send forth ministers of thy word into every place, that the multitudes may learn of thine infinite goodness through Jesus Christ, who was crucified for the sins of the world. We implore thy mercy, O God, for all who are in any want or need of body or soul, that thou wouldst deliver them from all evil. Grant them the oil of joy for mourning and the garment of praise for heaviness. Save us from all hidden perils and defend us until that hour when thou shalt call us from this earthly tabernacle to dwell in thy house forever and ever. In the name of Jesus the Christ, the Son of the living God. Amen. We sing hymn number 529.
Thank you.
Give thanks unto the Lord our God.
It is meet and right so to do.
It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks unto thee, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty, Everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. And now do we praise thee that thou didst send unto us thine only begotten Son, and that in him being found in fashion as a man, thou didst manifest the fullness of thy glory. Therefore with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify thy glorious name, evermore praising thee and saying, give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
For thine is the kingdom.
Christ, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, take, eat, this is my body which is given for you, this do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, drink ye all of it. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the remission of sins. This do as oft as ye drink it, in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
this is the true body of our Lord Jesus Christ, given unto death for your sins. Take and eat the true body of our Lord Jesus Christ, given unto death for your sins. Take and eat the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, given unto death for your sins. Take and drink the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, shed for the remission of your sins. Take and drink the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, shed for the remission of your sins. Take and drink the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, shed for the remission of your sins. Take and drink the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, shed for the remission of your sins. Take and drink the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, shed for the remission of your sins. Now may this precious sacrament of his body and blood strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Amen. Depart in peace. We sing the Nunc Dimittis.
Didst send thine only begotten Son into the flesh. We thank thee that for his sake thou hast given us pardon and peace in this sacrament. And we beseech thee not to forsake thy children, but evermore to rule our hearts and minds by thy Holy Spirit, that we may be enabled constantly to serve thee through Jesus Christ our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end.
Amen. We sing hymn number 50. Shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Amen.